From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. After 2 summers of little to no business, Juneau's tourist shops, tour operators, and other local businesses are eager for visitors. So, a crowd gathered on Monday afternoon to greet the Norwegian Bliss, the first large cruise ship to dock in Alaska in 2022. KTOO's Yvonne Krumrie reports.
It was a typical Juneau spring day, rainy and chilly, as herds of passengers walked up the ramp and made for nearby tourism shuttles. Laura McDonald was among those gathered at the dock to meet them. She owns Caribou Crossings, a shop that's been in Juneau for 25 years. It's staffed by locals and sells art from 60 Alaska artists.
If it's 10 people, we're excited. If it's 3,000 people, we're super excited.
The larger number was closer. The Bliss had around 2,000 passengers on board, or 50% of the ship's capacity.
Just to see happy people on the streets again and visitors getting to come enjoy my hometown is the best.
Juneau's mayor, Beth Weldon, was there too, greeting passengers as they got off the ship. She says the first ship of the season is symbolic.
It means welcome back, Juneau. It means our economy should be springing up from here, and we're pretty excited about it.
Acting city manager Robert Barr says he has faith in the COVID-19 port agreements Juneau made with cruise lines. One of these agreements, that 90% of the passengers would be vaccinated.
We're cautiously optimistic, I think is how I would put it, that we'll see similar sorts of success this season.
By dinner time, the Red Dog Saloon, an iconic bar for locals and tourists alike, had been transformed for the season.
Eric!
The floor was covered with sawdust, and the servers were wearing Gold Rush-era costumes. Women were in red satin dresses, and the men had those garters on their sleeves.
Yes, we have what we call our summer outfit on.
That's Eric Forst, one of the bar's owners. He's also cautiously optimistic for what the first day might mean for the rest of the summer.
It's day one. That's only one cruise line. Each cruise line is going to handle things differently. So I'll feel a little more comfortable after a couple of weeks.
But he's still hoping locals will come in and keep business going on those rare summer nights when there's no cruise ship in port. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrie.
The Bureau of Land Management announced on Monday that it's ditching a Trump administration plan for the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Instead, it's reverting to the 2013 plan adopted during the Obama administration. The move closes millions of acres in the NPRA to potential oil drilling. The 2013 plan is especially protective of the Teshekpuk Lake, a large wetlands important to shorebirds, loons, and caribou. But the Bureau of Land Management says the decision still leaves nearly 12 million acres available for oil and gas leasing. That's slightly more than half of the NPRA. The Trump administration had wanted closer to 80% open to drilling. The Biden administration indicated in January it was considering this move, drawing outrage from Alaska's congressional delegation. Senator Lisa Murkowski called it a bad decision for Alaska's economy, and even worse, for U.S. energy security. The National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, is roughly the size of Indiana and is the country's largest unit of public land. It sits to the west of Prudhoe Bay. Environmental groups prefer to call it the Western Arctic. Several environmental groups quickly issued statements praising the decision, but the Arizona-based Center for Biological Diversity said the decision doesn't go far enough because it still allows new Arctic drilling, which the group says has to end to address the climate crisis. Alaska lawmakers are considering a request by Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration that the state take over part of a federal environmental permitting program. But some members of the Senate's Budget Writing Committee have expressed concerns with the potential costs. Anchorage Daily News reports that administration officials have said the idea behind the proposal is to speed the construction of roads, bridges, mines, and drilling projects. Industry groups say the current permitting process is too slow. While the state would have to follow federal standards, critics say the state has traditionally favored development and underfunded oversight capabilities. Golden Valley Electric Association is reviewing a proposal by a Massachusetts-based company to generate up to 36 megawatts of electricity using wind and solar power, backed up by a large battery system. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the project is proposed for Delta Junction and is being managed by longtime local wind energy entrepreneur Mike Kraft.
Mike Kraft is a Fairbanks developer and former managing partner of Alaska Environmental Power, a Delta Junction-based wind farm that he's operated for more than 10 years, selling up to 2 megawatts of its output to Golden Valley. Kraft's now working with a new company, Delta Junction Renewable Resources, that was founded by Ameresco, a company with extensive expertise in building and operating renewable-powered electrical generating facilities.
Ameresco is an international developer. They have wind projects all over the world, and they are huge into solar, lots of solar projects.
Kraft and Ameresco propose to use all that expertise to build and operate a much bigger facility than his Delta Wind Farm. The new facility would be powered by 8 large wind turbines with solar and battery backup that would produce 36 megawatts, which he also hopes to sell to Golden Valley. He says Ameresco is also an industry leader in energy storage technology, so the proposed project includes a battery energy storage system that would provide up to 30 megawatts of backup power for up to an hour.
It's currently building the largest battery in the United States that's being built in California.
Kraft says he'll use the experience he's gained from operating his wind farm, along with his years in the construction business, to help Ameresco build the new project on land it'll lease from him next door to his existing facility in Delta.
I'll be providing technical advice going forward on the construction of the roads and the foundations and working with the crane companies, because I know all those guys.
An Ameresco spokesperson declined comment on the project while it's still early on in the proposal phase. Kraft has proposed several renewable energy-powered facilities in recent years that would generate electricity for sale to Golden Valley, but the co-op management and board has so far declined those proposals. He believes this project would address the concerns they've raised in the past, especially over the challenge of regulating intermittent wind and solar power when the air is calm and the sun isn't shining.
It eliminates some of the issues that Golden Valley has brought up in the past with respect to regulation.
Golden Valley is studying the Delta Junction Renewable Resources proposal to determine whether it's workable and how much the co-op can pay the company for the electricity the facility would produce.
Does it financially make sense for Delta Junction Renewables?
Golden Valley spokesperson Meadow Bailey says the analysis is required by federal regulations when the co-op gets proposals from so-called qualifying facilities to generate and sell electricity. She says the co-op will then calculate how much it would pay for the power and include that information in a tariff that it'll file with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. The tariff must be filed by May 2nd. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
The state of Alaska's first investigator, focused specifically on missing and murdered indigenous people, has been on the job for about 3 weeks now, working on cases and sorting out how the new position will function. Ann Sears had been retired after 22 years in law enforcement as the first Alaska Native woman to serve as an Alaska State Trooper. Now she's back, trying to tackle a long-running problem that a disproportionate number of indigenous people go missing and are victims of murder.
I'm getting a lot of contact from people around the state, and those were folks that I wasn't aware of. You know, I have my list that I got from the troopers, and I'm getting other names, too.
Sears says she also wants to bring more attention to cases involving Alaska Native people disappearing or dying under suspicious circumstances. And ultimately, she says she wants to give families answers about what happened to their loved ones.
And if it involves being able to charge somebody with a homicide, that's another closure, another piece of the closure for a family. I think ultimately that's what it's going to boil down to, you know, making the family whole.
As a trooper, Sears worked in both urban and rural Alaska. Her new investigator position is based in Anchorage and funded through the U.S. Department of Justice's Project Safe Neighborhoods. Anchorage officials and various private organizations have partnered to put $13 million toward a multi-tiered approach to reduce homelessness in the state's largest city. Money will go toward the operation of 4 new projects in the city, the proposed Navigator Center and shelter in East Anchorage, plus a substance misuse clinic, a workforce and supportive housing facility, and a complex care facility. The goal is to use the 4 facilities to serve more than 700 people who have been using the Sullivan Arena as a mass shelter for more than 2 years, along with local hotels. The city plans to close the Sullivan shelter before July. Midtown Anchorage Assemblymember Felix Rivera laid out the projects at a press conference on Monday, describing them as planks of a larger structure.
Behind each of these planks are human beings with specific needs and wants. Behind each of these planks is an intention to help meet the needs of those who have for one reason or another, found themselves on the streets or in our parks and trails. Behind each of these planks is a commitment that as a community, we will leave no one behind.
Partnering organizations include Native Corporations Calista, Chugach Alaska, and Doy Unlimited, as well as Primera, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska, Widener Apartment Homes, Providence, the Alaska Mental Health Trust, and the Rasmussen Foundation. The partnering organizations are putting $7 million towards the programs, with the rest covered by the city. Mayor Dave Bronson says the Navigation Center is one part of the process to address homelessness. He likened it to an emergency room in a hospital. Setup for the other three facilities is ongoing. The complex care facility should be open in June, while renovations are underway at the substance misuse clinic. Alaska Airlines says it's canceling nonstop flights between Anchorage and Honolulu during the summer months, primarily because of limited staffing. The suspension will last from June until November. Alaska's news source reports that the airline said no other major nonstop routes to and from Anchorage were affected. Alaska Airlines has struggled with staffing levels this month as pilots protested, and the airline said it encountered a backlog in its training program while it worked to bring on more pilots. The airline had 63 fewer pilots ready to fly in April than it had planned on in January. That is it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, April 26, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.